Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Jeff Sekerek of thesuperfitvegan.com. It's September 11th, 2012 at 7 a.m. Central Time, and I've got my co-host here with me today. It's Ray Whitney of rawgirlfriend.com. Are you there, Ray?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. This is the show where we're going to talk about all things related to the vegan lifestyle and super fitness. Today's show, how corporations and governments are poisoning you with a host of horrific toxins and exactly what to do to eliminate them from your life and gain a vibrant level of health. Now, we're going to talk about that issue, not just from a negative so as to dwell on it, but actually what we can do about it to make better decisions going forward. We're going to talk about, number one, why corporations are doing this, why governments are allowing them to get away with it. That'll be number one. Later in the show, we'll talk about some striking, what Ray and I feel are the most striking examples or threats from corporate-produced toxins in our food and water that are approved by government. And then at the end of the show, we'll get in exactly how both Ray and I deal with those toxins and how to eliminate them from your life once and for all. We're going to take callers also during the show, so if you've got a comment, a story, or a personal situation you'd like addressed, or if you'd just like to talk to us about what we're talking about today, give us a call at 718-664-6436. That's 718-664-6436. And before we get into the show here, I want to preface this by saying that if you follow a high raw vegan diet, as I have laid out on my site, thesuperfitvegan.com, and as Ray lays out on her site, rawgirlfriend.com, I believe that you can cut most of these toxins out of your life. So as horrific as some of the stuff is that we're going to be talking about today, I still believe that if you follow the program that we stick to, a high raw vegan diet and body weight exercise, an active lifestyle done every day, that you're going to be in better shape than 9 out of 10 people you're going to meet anywhere on earth. Would you agree with that, Ray?
Yes, I would, absolutely.
I'm basing that on not just on our results, but the hundreds of people that we've talked to, that I've met since doing this lifestyle, and unquestionably, I don't think that there's any better way to live. So in the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and get right into it. As we talked about earlier today, Ray, we're going to have to bullet point through this stuff pretty quickly because each of these topics that we're bringing up could take a whole show just on its own. So number one, why corporations? Why would corporations want to put toxins that aren't good for you into your food and water? And if so, how are they getting away with it? Well, I was just paging through Wayne Green's book called The Secret Guide to Health, and he's a friend of mine who started Byte Magazine, the first U.S. computer magazine, and I think he makes a good case for money being one of the primary factors, if not the primary factor. So in his book, Green, The Secret Guide to Health, has a little blog called The Cabal, and he writes, "Unless the many people I've met in the alternative medicine field are all suffering from paranoid delusions, which I doubt, there's a nasty collaboration between the American Medical Association, the FDA, pharmaceutical companies, and the insurance industry to maintain the status quo. Well, it's $1.5 trillion industry, so I can understand why everyone involved would be resistant to anything which could upset their lucrative apple cart. Any low-cost cure for a dread expensive illness would likely spoil the game for everyone. Now, if raw foodists like Lorraine Day, Dr. Beeler, and the other people met in this business that have seen incredible results from a raw vegan diet, if they are right about a totally raw diet being able to strengthen the immune system enough so it can fight off any illness and any kind of disease, and that word starts getting out, think of what that might do to the entire medical industry. Yes, we'd still need a few doctors and hospitals for knife and gunshot wounds, as well as other accidents, but most of the drug companies would do this, as well as the food giants. Well, so I think Green, in that little blurb, sums it up pretty well. What is the primary reason these corporations are doing it? Well, it's the money. If you've got a massive public that is in ill health, it's much easier to keep selling them your toxic foods and getting them onto your poisonous drugs. On the flip side, if you had a public that was totally educated, that was totally healthy and ate primarily fresh organic produce, what would happen to the food and medical industries? They'd be nothing. They'd dry up very quickly. So there's a lot of profit in the sick public, and I don't think they have any problem with that. Furthermore, if you think about it, this is not, Ray, and we were talking about this earlier today, the world is just not like it was several hundred years ago. The power structure that runs the world, in my mind, you've got power in much, much fewer hands today than you did many years ago. So they're able to push this stuff through pretty quickly, as they were not able to do before. Also, you've got a very computerized, mechanized, automated society now that you did not have many years ago. So you have to look at it from the perspective of the Rockefellers of the world and the elites of the world. They really don't need this massive public anymore, do they?
No.
Are we getting a little bit of feedback there, Ray?
Yeah. I just heard like a train or something. Is that on your end?
No, it's here, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, that's
no
okay.
Problem. No problem. So, we were talking about this morning, Ray, a little bit. You know, this is not like the Dark Ages where, you know, many years ago they needed a large base of humanity to do a lot of the heavy lifting. At this point, a lot of these elitist organizations consider kind of the mass of man expendable. And they've always had kind of a religion, for want of a better term, as themselves as superior selves. I was reading a couple of quotes today that struck me. Bill Gates claims that the world, he has said the world today has about 7 billion people. That's heading up to 9 billion. And he goes on and says, if we do a really great job on new vaccines and reproductive services, we could lower the population by 10 to 15%. Now, Ted Turner has stated that he wants a 95% decrease in world population. So the point is, we could go on and on with examples here of how the power structure of the world would desire a much smaller population in general. And they've not just talked about it. David Rockefeller started a population council, it was called, in 1952, and he made Fred Osborne, the leader of the American Eugenics Society, he made him the president of it. They've got a long history of financing all kinds of eugenics programs, and that's, we'll do another complete show on that. But I wanted to ask you, Ray, that is a major problem, the fact that what we have is we've got a situation where money is making this thing happen, and these elites of the world really, in my opinion, could care less about the rest of humanity. So how is it that they're able to get away with this, in your opinion?
Well, I actually want to just comment on that, what you said about the medical industry, you know, does not benefit from a healthy society, and it's very true. I have firsthand experience working with surgeons in surgical suites, and I asked them point blank if they talked about diet and nutrition with their patients, and they came back to me, and immediate replies were, we don't have the luxury of doing that because we wouldn't make any money. We have to get them into pharmaceuticals. So that's this year I had people, you know, the doctors telling me this. So that was very, very scary. Very scary. So I had my own testimonials right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So
that was in California, right?
Yeah, correct. In Southern California, yes. So it's very scary. It's very true. You know, keeping people sick and/or addicted to drugs. Or in a situation where they believe they need them, propels that the money train. So you're right; they're not going to be quick to shut that down.
No,
but
you know,
but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, can I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to make that comment that you're asking me how they get away with it. I'd have to answer by saying, you know, from early on, you know, we are programmed, you know, all of us way back from when we're children, you know, we're programmed to believe a certain set of programming, for lack of a better word, precepts about the world. And, you know, how to behave in it. And a lot of that surrounds supporting a debt structure, you know, having jobs for life. I don't know who came up with that idea, but, you know, living a sedentary lifestyle with, you know, TV shows and, you know, bigger TVs and all of that. And, you know, all around passivity. You know, by the masses. And we all fall right into line. I was taught early on, one of my earliest memories was, you know, don't make waves. And while at the time I thought, you know, yeah, getting along is important, just doesn't serve any of us in life to not be confrontational and not stand for something, you know, or go up against these entities that are robbing us of our rights, and they do this daily. So that's how they get away with it, and I think it's, you know, it's such a disservice to us because they squash any of our creativity cells, so to speak, you know, for us to live a more nurtured life. So that's how they get away with it, and it's generational. You know, our parents didn't know any better and so forth and so on, but that doesn't make it right. So I think you're right by saying, you know, people are becoming more aware, and certainly that's why we're doing this show, you know, spread some truth, get people thinking about their lives. So that's how they're getting away with it.
I think you're absolutely on to something there. You know, I'm in the Philippines now, as you know, but when I drive by schools, whether it's here or Thailand or in America, and I look at the fences, some of them with barbed wire surrounding the schools, when I find out that how many children are now being put on psychotropic drugs, when I find out that 65% of Americans or more at this point are on some type of drug, I'm thinking, you know, what would the people that started the United States, what would they think about that? That can't be helping. When you have a public that's, as you mentioned, just inundated with distractions, TV, computer, and of course a lot of good things have come out of the computer, but also a lot of distractions have come from it. And yeah, just our overall lifestyle has led to a level of apathy where, you know, I was just reading a story where in the state of Maryland, this is not that long ago, dragged children into a courthouse in front of their parents and vaccinated them against their will with attack dogs and police with guns at the ready on site. Would that have happened 100 years ago? And they're violating your constitutional rights to be secure in your person and personal property. Would that have gone on 100 years ago, no matter what the reason? I don't think so. So it really does speak to cases like that that should be front page news, really speak to a level of apathy that's insinuated itself into most Americans. So that was our first reason we talked about how they're getting away with it. You have a general level of apathy in the public where the public's more concerned about who's going to win the big game this weekend than what's being put into their children's shots. I'd say that's a pretty big problem. The other reason that we were talking about earlier today is that corporations, some of which now have a GNP, a gross national product, that's bigger than some countries, they've got all the money in the world to spend to lobby, which is nothing more than a de facto bribe, to your elected public servants to push through whatever product, drug, or vaccine that they want to get pushed through, whether it's dangerous or not, because they know, hey, if it kills a few thousand, they can always buy their way out of it. They can lawyer their way out of any kind of problem. So they could care less about the public as a whole. For the first time in human history, we've got essentially these corporations that don't have really much allegiance to any one country or another, just the bottom line. They make de facto employees out of government elected officials. I mean, those elected officials that make legislation are in and out of office pretty quickly. Elections are around now forever. And if you don't do their bidding as a public servant, you're not going to get elected. An example of that would be the pharmaceutical lobby in America. Every 5 to 7 years now is pumping in about $900 million to the federal government in the form of lobbies, of which about $90 million goes to candidates alone. So if you're a political candidate and you want to get elected, it's not going to happen the way the system is set up anymore. It's not going to happen unless you do the bidding of these corporations. So that being said, maybe we can move on here, Ray, to some of the most striking examples that we talked about earlier today of the mass poisoning of the public. And what's the number one that was on both of our lists?
Well, evidently, I mean, obviously it's the GMOs, you know, the genetically modified foods that are so prevalent in our society, and people are unaware. They're unaware that some of this food, maybe a large percentage of it, is just not good to eat or ingest. So I came across an article on naturalnews.com. It's a great site if our listeners have not been there. And it's good to go there, sign up for their newsletter. There's tons of information on there. But this one is about the top 10 GMO foods to avoid. And the contributing writer started off with the selling out of America, you know, government policies over the health of all of us. And the example she gave was that President Obama appointed Michael Taylor in 2009 as senior advisor for the FDA. And this raised fierce protests because Taylor was an ex-VP for Monsanto. And Monsanto, as most people know, is the multinational conglomerate that is, you know, manufacturing these GMO seeds at an alarming rate. So that's just one example of the collusion, as you were saying, between the government and these corporations. They are in bed together, and this is deplorable. Is an understatement that they are creating fake food, in essence. It's so scary. And, you know, the danger of ingesting these things, you know, they're not safe for human consumption. There's a lack of labeling. And so Americans, all of us, anybody human, you know, they're just at a loss as to know what's on the table. So, you know, this lack of information doesn't let anyone chase them down. So I'd like to go through these top 10 GMO food lists. So everyone listening should get out a paper and a pen and get ready to write these down. Some of these are probably you might have read about or heard about, but these are the top 10, and this article was written in May of this year, so I'm sure there are others, but this is a good beginning, so I'm just going to jump right in here. Number one is corn. Number two, soy. Number three, cotton. Four, papaya. Five, rice. Six, tomatoes. Seven, rapeseed. We know it as canola. Eight, dairy products. If you're vegan, you don't have to worry about number eight. Nine, potatoes. And 10, peas. And what these all have in common is that they resist insecticides, herbicides, and pesticides. So this GMO company, Monsanto, is really putting our farmers anywhere in America, you know, out of business because they're forcing them to use their seeds, and these people don't want to use their seeds. So there's tons of information out there about this topic, and we could do a whole show on GMOs. It's an alarming topic.
You know what else? Those you mentioned those 10 foods where if you're eating those, try to make them organic, obviously, as possible. You're mentioning what they have in common. Another thing they've got in common is the damage that they do to the inside of your body. And that is, you know, a lot of people are not aware of studies. Like I was just doing a little bit of research on this topic yesterday, and I know that the first independent non-industry sponsored study on the effects of genetically modified foods on animals, these studies were going on in Scotland, and there was a French Pod Pustai found that rats given genetically modified potatoes, they all had organ damage, a thickening of the small intestine, poor brain development, and a host of other issues. So once he published that research, you had a lot of public furor, and he was quickly fired by the company that had hired him, which was called Rowett Research. And it came out only later that Rowett Research was financed by, guess who, Monsanto. So a fact of the matter is that the bottom line, when everything is said and done, the bottom line is this. Genetically modified foods, they are not safe. Now the studies are starting to come through loud and clear from quite a few good resources that they're causing organ, liver damage, and a host of other problems. And at this point in the evolution of man, or should I say the de-evolution of man, we're at a point where over 70% of our foods, by a lot of estimates, are genetically altered foods. And the heck of it is, you know, we're talking about these different articles we're reading. I did a piece that I wrote based on Jeffrey Smith's book, Seeds of Deception. If you take a bunch of flock of geese or cows or pigs, even these animals are smart enough not to eat genetically modified foods. He goes through case after case. So, you know, all the science in the world, you know, science can be doctored. And I personally am convinced, based upon the science, without a shadow of a doubt, that these genetically modified foods are toxic to humans. But you know what? I'm even more convinced by the circumstantial evidence, which is the fact that, hey, you release a flock of geese into a field and they eat up the genetically, they eat up the naturally grown produce and steer clear of the genetically altered. Same thing with cows, pigs, rabbits. So that's a pretty ugly situation if you've got stuff that's in 70% of our crops and, you know, even animals are smart enough to stay away from it, and it's linked to all these other problems. So that's our primary example there that I'd say you're right. It's one of the biggest threats. Another one that, moving on here, another one we talked about is, of course, fluoride in the water. And Portland, Oregon, just last week it came out that they're pushing to spend about the mayor of Portland, Adams, is pushing to spend $5 million of taxpayer money to fluoridate the water. And that definitely throws up a red flag to me because, remember, you know, Ray, we lived there, and there's a lot of health food stores there. There are a lot of good people in Portland that are not stupid, and hopefully they'll fight that. But who knows? I can't say what percentage of the population there is not aware that fluoride is nothing more than a byproduct of aluminum production. It is, you know, it's the primary ingredient in sarin nerve gas and rat poison. Essentially, it's like swallowing little wires that tears up your insides. And I remember, I grew up in Chicago, I remember way back when, many, many years ago, when the fluoridation issue was first starting to get attention, the fluoride producers that couldn't get rid of this stuff were dumping it into rivers in Chicago, and they had to wear hazmat suits. You know those moon suits that basically cover you from head to toe? That's how toxic that stuff is. So, and similar, you know, results as to the GMOs. Fluoride's been linked to poor brain developments, lower IQ, damaged thyroid function, and even cancer. You were reading off to me some of that work today, Ray, by Shane Ellison on fluoride. What's
Correct.
Your opinion on it?
Yeah, Shane Ellison, he's author, founder of thepeopleschemist.com. And he says that fluoride is, quote, one of the greatest public health threats of modern times. Once ingested, fluoride compounds attack the structural integrity of our insides. Collagen, a web-like network connecting our skeletal system to muscles, is torn apart by fluoride. We feel it as joint stiffness, ligament damage, and aching bones. The same mechanism leads to browning of the teeth, an outcome known as fluorosis. And he also went on to say fluoride ingestion actually promotes tooth decay, and even the U.S. CDC, the Centers for Disease Prevention, admit that there is no verifiable scientific proof that fluoride in any way prevents cavities. So it's right there. Fluoride is scary. So we need to be avoiding it at all costs. This is why it's crucial to read labels. Know what you are putting in your body.
And the heck of it is there these legislators who are, you know, beholden to the major corporations that want to dump their waste product on humanity. They're, you know, Adams in Portland, Oregon, he he's talking all about how he was raised drinking fluoridated water. And it turns out later, after a little bit of research, well, no, that wasn't true. He lied about that. That doesn't surprise me. The effects also that we're talking about fluoride from this chemist Ellison, we've known this for, you know, many, many years. I'm looking at a piece right now, a letter from E.H. Bronner, who was Albert Einstein's nephew, circa about 1952. And this guy was he was held in concentration camps. And he wrote in a letter that when fluoridation was first being proposed in the United States, he wrote that it appears the citizens of Massachusetts, which he was writing about, are among the next of the agenda of the water poisoners. He goes on and says, there's a sinister network of subversive agents, intellectual parasites working in our country today, whose ramifications grow more extensive, more successful, and more alarming each new year, and whose true objective is to demoralize and destroy our republic from within, if they can. Fluoridation of our community water systems can well be the most subtle weapon for our physical and mental deterioration. And he goes on and claiming he was a chemist that built within 22 years, three American chemical plants, licensed a lot of patents, and he says that based on his years of practical experience in the health, food, and chemical field, he says fluoridation of drinking water is criminal insanity and sure national suicide. Don't do it. He also mentions Hitler and Stalin. Those guys loved fluoride in the water because it turned out that the prisoners that had fluoridated water were a lot more docile and easy to control than the prisoners that didn't. So this guy's speaking from experience. Just the little bit that we've cited right there is enough to make me cringe, I can tell you that. And doing a little bit more research today, I know that the U.S. Public Health Service, by 1951, fluoridation had become widely used, reaching about 50 million people between 51 and 1960. Now, by 2006, according to the U.S. Public Health Service, almost 70% of the U.S. population were receiving fluoridated water. So when you look at the effects of this stuff and the history of it, and then you find out that 70% of the population's water is being fluoridated, and they're talking about, in many areas, putting Prozac in the water, lit water, it's just more evidence that goes to show that the powers that be care little or nothing about true public health. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. It's so scary. It's horrific what is going on out there. And I'm so glad we could do this show because people are just unaware. They just don't understand the mechanisms that are at work, you know, behind how we live. I mean, it's all predetermined. It's a big interlocking chain of, you know, levers and pulleys, and you know, our government and all these corporations are, you know, working the controls. So it's really good to bring it out and give it some light. It's well deserving for sure.
First, you have to know your enemy. You know, before you move forward and get past some of this stuff, which you know, is our objective in shows like this and trying to spread the word about these toxic ingredients, it's really important to recognize it's not being negative, so to speak. We're just, trying to make people aware of how serious this stuff is. The stuff we're talking about should be on NBC, ABC, CBS, but it's not because these major corporations own NBC, CBS, ABC. They're not going to let any of this stuff get out. And it's now at a point in the history of humanity where we're talking serious consequences. These genetically modified foods are screwing with man's genetic pool, so it may never be the same or may take several generations to undo the damage. So we talked about fluoride, genetically modified foods. What do you got on vaccines, Ray?
Oh, when we start talking about vaccines, I mean, I could go on and on. I just it's just so scary that this, injection, they're claiming these injections will prevent anything. I mean, the horrors of it all. But one story that just sticks in my head that I read about a while back was about a woman in Pennsylvania, and shocking. She gave birth to a baby en route, to the hospital in the ambulance. And when she arrived, a government social worker started, attacking her, basically, and asking questions. And the lady was so exhausted, and this woman was threatening her. And she was asking questions about, the child's needing medical treatment. And since you're not going to cooperate, I'm going to call the police and we'll take custody of the baby. And which the crux of it was is she wanted them to sign a safety plan that, those are contractual agreements to agreeing to medical treatment, whatever the hospital deems necessary. And that included multiple vaccines. And she was screaming no, absolutely not. And the social worker did what she said. She called the police, and they took custody of the child and pumped it full of vaccines. So it's just blatant disregard for humanity, like you said. I mean, it's just so scary that this would occur in modern-day society. I can't believe it. But, of course, that doesn't make it on the news. No.
Kind of similar to the Maryland case that we were talking about earlier, where
Correct.
They dragged children
Correct.
Into a court. This stuff should be front page news. And if you some people out there may not be aware, and it's just because it doesn't get the publicity that it deserves. But these vaccines, to date, there have been, I'm looking at one example today. I was looking at Gardasil, which was being pushed as a cervical cancer vaccine for teen girls. Just to date, there have been over 21,000 reported cases of girls being adversely injured by Gardasil or another offshoot of it called Cervarix. They've had more than 3,100 serious injury reports and 100 reported deaths, and I'll bet that's low because where I pulled this information from is a little bit dated here. But the bottom line is this. The symptoms that have been reported to public services in over 21,000 cases range from autoimmune disorders, paralysis, seizures, severe migraine headaches, blindness, hearing loss, memory loss, and death. So, you take one vaccine like that, and then you do a little bit of digging on it, you do a little bit of research, you just say in your head spiritually, who in the world would want something like this done? Well, Rick Perry, governor of Texas, he wanted it done, and he wanted to make Merck's product, Gardasil, law that you had to take it, even after all of these injuries and all these reported problems. And then you find out that hey, Rick Perry is getting all kinds of financial support from Merck. So that's how the world works, and, when you look at more and more cases like this, and as we talked about earlier, just the seeming apathy of the public combined with the stranglehold that these mercs of the world have upon your government officials, it's enough to make you say at some point, you know what, man's not in a good place. I'm just going to get myself spiritually, take care of myself physically as much, the best that I can, and spiritually go into a room in silence and talk to God, the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it, because it's listening, It's listening, more than likely. And it just makes you want to throw your hands up and stop talking about it. Put it out of your mind. You know, focus on the distractions and the good things in life, which obviously we have to do, but I'd say not to the exclusion of stuff like this. You've got, you know, children, their immune systems are developing, and I'm looking at a list here that I pulled up on some of the ingredients and side effects that are in some of these vaccines. And get this, let me just read off a couple of them and see what I thought you'd find these interesting. One of the ingredients in many vaccines, sorbitol, a synthetic sweetener which metabolizes very slowly and aggravates irritable bowel syndrome and gastrointestinal issues. Gelatin, derived from the collagen inside animals' skin and bones. Injecting gelatin poses the risk of infection from synthetic growth hormones and mad cow disease. Another one, thimerosal in most vaccines. This is a neurotoxic mercury that causes autism. There's a lot of good data on that now. Thimerosal, there are over 25 micrograms in an average flu vaccine. And even the EPA in the United States, the Environmental Protection Agency, safety limit is 5 micrograms. So children who are developing their immune systems early in life are vaccinated simultaneously with over 10 times the safety limit of mercury in one shot. Formaldehyde. Highly carcinogenic fluid used to embalm corpses. Yeah. Ranked one of the most hazardous compounds to human health, this one causes liver damage, gastrointestinal issues, reproductive deformation, respiratory distress, and cancer. Plus, formaldehyde has been known to fail to deactivate the virus the vaccine is intended to cure, thus enabling a live virus to enter your blood and infect your system. You know, I could go on and on here. The point of it is simply this, that these vaccines, if you've got 500 brain cells to rub together, to inject compounds like this into a growing child where their immune system is developing, their immune system is going to throw its hands up and say, what's going on here? You can't. Common sense alone will tell you that those types of toxins cannot be injected, especially to children and parents against their will. So there you have it, folks. Let's see how we're making on time here. Are you there, Ruth Ann?
Yeah, we've got 16 minutes left.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, and then you can comment on this, Ray, but where are we at as a species? If we look at the fact of these corporations with their henchmen, your elected officials, pumping the public en masse full of genetically modified foods, fluoride, and the rest of it, we're at a situation where by 2015, one out of two people is estimated to get cancer. And just a couple hundred years ago or less, cancer was virtually unknown. So, you know, before all this stuff was introduced, man did not have the problems that he's got now. So the question is, and we'll talk about this in the last 15 minutes, so if you've got a piece of pen and paper handy, exactly, we're going to bullet point not only Ray and I, but a lot of our people we've worked with. How do we keep these things out of our lives and maintain a good degree of health? Why don't you start with that, Ray?
Okay, so sure. I think the most important thing is to get informed, get educated, join groups that support the you know, natural foods and labeling of foods. I mean, here in California, there's an entity the California Right to Know organization, and it's on the ballot this year. Prop 37, a right to know, vote yes to get these GMOs labeled. So this is all over California right now, and they're making a big push to bring that out, that we do have the right to know. So fully support that entity. And also on Facebook, there's a group called Millions Against Monsanto. So I think it's important to, you know, support these organizations and, you know, and get knowledgeable. So that would be my number one.
Absolutely. You've got, again, as we were speaking about earlier today, you've got to know your enemy before, you've got to know where this stuff is coming from and how it's being added into your food and water before you can do anything about it.
That's
and,
right.
You know, yeah, and most of the public is so horrifically uninformed, so mind-numbingly stupid from all the TV, all the drugs, all the vaccines, and the rest of it, and they just don't have time for it. You know, you get up in the morning, you eat your eggs, wash it down with a huge glass of milk, you got to back that system up. Then you go to work. You get home about 5 o'clock, flip the game on. You know, once that's over, okay, now you're tired. You got to get to bed. You don't have time for stuff like this. So, you know, it takes two. You got these corporations that are producing this nonsense. It sends to them, and then you got the public that's eating it up like crazy. So I agree. Number one is join groups. If you just start Googling and joining some of these groups, you know, the hazards of genetically modified foods, labeling issues. I'm not trying to say do a ton of homework, but use your common sense and do a little bit of research on it, and pretty soon you'll become what other people will refer to as an expert. So that's number one, educate yourself. Number two, I'd say, is have a garage sale or just a giveaway. Go through your kitchen, look at those labels, and I would say start with this. Just, you probably, if you've been eating a lot of this stuff, you probably need to go on a fast anyway. So it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to throw out everything in your kitchen that's not an organic fruit, vegetable, nut, seed, or a legume. And, you know, if you do that, you're going to have a much easier time of it. Again, it's common sense. If you look at a label and you don't understand the ingredients, then I would get rid of it and err on the side of caution. And then, again, if you're making most of your diet produce, you're going to do a heck of a lot better anyway. So I'd say have a garage sale, and same thing with the personal care products, right? You know, I don't use a whole lot of them, but...
Yeah, my comment on that would be, you know, you have to do a little bit of legwork, you know, find stores, seek out, you know, stores and retailers that carry those products you use regularly. Make sure they're fluoride-free items if you do have anything with, you know, a label on it and organic, and, you know, start reading labels. Your local health food store is a good place to start. And you just cannot be careful enough about anything that you're putting in or on your body. It's so important to make sure that it's pure and, you know, not tainted with these horrible things. So that would be my input on that one. And I love the idea of purging everything in the kitchen. So, great.
Absolutely. Yeah, the personal care stuff, I think... you know, now they're getting some studies coming in on breast cancer, and they're thinking that some of this stuff may be caught. We're talking about fluoride. Well, you've got aluminum byproduct in a lot of deodorants, and they're thinking that
Correct.
Prolonged use of some of these toxic deodorants might, in fact, have something to do with the incidence of breast cancer. So like you say, hey, you know, this is a... It can be kind of depressing stuff, but not once you're educated and you can, you know, so to speak, go to war on it and not allow it into your body. So, well said. What else do you got?
Oh, I also want to just remind our listeners that, you know, we are voting with our dollars. So that means anytime you purchase something, you're perpetuating the manufacture and distribution of that item, basic supply and demand. So we need to be very mindful about when we hand over our money, what we're getting in return for it. I can't say enough about that. You're voting with your dollars. Be aware of that every time you go out into the world.
Absolutely. I'd also add in, we had join groups, increase your level of education, have a barometer or a giveaway, getting in your, that's not an organic vegetable, nut, or seed, or legume. Vote with your dollars for that. And I'd say also, this kind of ties in with the other point about cleaning out your kitchen, but you're going to do a heck of a lot better from the inside out in terms of cleaning out any of these toxins that are left in your body if you make 75% of your diet at least fresh produce. You know, if you think about it, let's say just less than 75 years ago, if you walked into a grocery store, 90% of that grocery store more than likely was filled with fresh produce, maybe bags of whole grains, and very little, maybe 10 to 15%, came in the form of processed food in a box. Now, the heck of it is, that's reversed. You walk into even a Whole Foods, or in America, a natural food store, and you've got about 85 to 90% stuff that's in boxes and processed, and then only 10 to 15% of fresh produce. Well, what you want to do, to my way of thinking, is reverse that in your body. Start by eating nothing but fruit. If you want to have breakfast, eat nothing but fruit before noon. And then have a large green smoothie, more fruit, before each meal. That'll end up making you eat a lot less of the whatever happens to be your main course. And with all the fiber and all the water base in the fresh produce, you'll start washing your body from the inside out, start cleansing your colon from the inside out, where a lot of these toxins throughout a lifetime end up lodging. So that's what I would say for number four. And moving on, what else do you have, Ray?
Yeah, great point. And, you know, you're saying, you know, eat organic. Definitely, you know, support your local farmer's market. That should be your first stop. Those people are very knowledgeable, and you can, you know, talk about voting with your dollars. Keep that going. You can also grow your own garden. You can even start on a small scale with those topsy-turvy tomato holders that you can hang from a hook on your balcony if you have small space, or you can grow a full-on organic garden. It behooves us to do this, especially when you're vegan. It's 80% of what you're eating, so it's really the way to go if you have the space for it and the time to maintain it. Definitely try to grow your own. It will save you a lot of grief going forward.
Absolutely. And how about, not to be forgotten, recreate yourself every day with exercise. If you do that and you break a sweat and exercise in the way that's on my YouTube videos. I've got the YouTube link on my workouts. I've got a ton of free ones there at thesuperfitvegan.com. Ray does a lot of the same type of workout, and her site's rawgirlfriend.com. If you do the type of workouts that we both really like, which is incorporates a lot of body weight exercise, where you don't need to leave your home if you don't want to. You can do it anywhere you like and burn as much fat as you want. You build a great amount of lean muscle. It also develops one heck of a lot of mental discipline. We found that out when you could start doing the type of workouts that we recommend. But if you do that each day, it starts to cleanse your cells, cleanse your body at a deep cellular level. And at least me personally, and most of the clients and the people that I've dealt with, when you get done with a tough, hard workout, the last thing you feel like eating is something dense and heavy. You start craving the good stuff. You start doing these type of workouts that demand a lot out of you. What happens is your body's intuition takes over, and it starts craving green smoothies, juice, raw fruit. So the point of that is this: if you do the exercise program the way that we lay it out, and we'll talk more about that next week on next week's show, it's a heck of a lot easier for you to not have the cravings creep in for more toxins. And it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, kind of a cycle. It's almost like you're either in a downward cycle if you're not exercising and eating right, but if you all of a sudden start making the right decisions, you start getting very quickly in an upward cycle where you're exercising. Your cells are getting cleaned from the inside out. Your colon, your toxins are coming out in the toilet due to all the fiber, and you want to crave more and more of it, more good stuff, more good food, raw plant food, and more exercise. So that's a huge one right there, and I think that about sums it up. Let's see how we're doing on time here. We've got about five minutes left.
Right. Could I add something?
Yes.
Sure. Ray was talking about gardening, which I think is very important, and I just like to suggest that people make sure they get organic seeds. You know, it's everybody's what first thing to, oh, I got something cheap. And, you know, you can go to a dollar store and get 10 packs for a dollar or something, or 5 packs, I don't know. You know, those are not organic. There's companies like Baker's Creek and different ones you can Google to get organic seeds. And be aware that these companies, these small companies, need support, because Monsanto and its ilk are buying up seed companies. So it's very important to use
great point. Great point, Ruth Ann. When I say read labels, that goes for those seeds too.
Yeah, definitely.
You definitely, there's a whole rack of them in your local do-it-yourself center, box store, that say organic on them. So, yeah, definitely. Excellent point. So what else do we have, Jeff?
Okay, well,
I think we're at the end.
Well,
we're
coming to the end here. The only thing that I'd say, you know, to go back through just real quick the bullet points, join groups, as you talked about in point number one, educate yourself, know your enemy. We tried to do a little bit of that on the show today. I think we did a fairly good job at giving a pretty broad stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives you an idea of the horrors, as we promised at the outset, that these corporations and governments are unleashing on us. So we covered that. We'll go over some of them probably individually in future shows. But to reiterate the bullet points, know your enemy, join groups, educate yourself about it, have a garage sale or a throw out, and get rid of everything in your kitchen that is not an organic fruit, whole nut, or seed. Vote with your dollars. Very important. Make 75% of your food fresh or washed fresh produce. If you can't make it organic, get one of those fruit and vegetable washes. Those work well. They eliminate most pesticides, and wash it with some of the produce wash and baking soda, and you'll be in a much better place. Grow your own food, as you were talking about, Ray. Even if it's just tomatoes hanging. Buy organic whenever possible. Recreate yourself every day with exercise, and I think that's a real good start. One other thing, that if you're in a case where you feel you're highly toxic, we talked a little bit about this last week, I'd say go on a juice fast. There's a real good site out there called juicefeasting.com. Why do I add that in? Because about 70% of your body's energy is used digesting food. So if you stop eating and start drinking juice, you free up a lot of that energy, which then begins to eliminate toxins from your body. So all of that, I think if you've written that stuff down and you go to our sites and follow our exercise routine, you're going to be in better shape than 9 out of 10 people on Earth. And as horrific as some of the stuff is that we talked about today, you won't have to dwell on it. You can educate people about it. You can educate yourself about it. But it won't be a major concern lingering like a ghost in the back of your mind, because you'll have developed a level of health that's unknown to most people in the world. Final comments, Ray.
Yeah, for me, you know, when we're talking about all this stuff and our lifestyles, for me, it's just leading by example. Sharing information, helping others, you know, become aware. You're more open to being aware if you're following a plant-based diet because you're not, you know, bogged down with all these pollutants in your system. But I think all we can do is, shine from the inside out and, share the information openly, lovingly, and willingly with anyone that'll listen. It's our lives are on the line. I say this every week, and everyone has just got to stop what they're doing and, you know, reset their choices, the little choice meter. So that would be my closing, yeah.
Well said, no question about it. We'll be back next week to show a little bit lighter stuff, talking about our workout and more. So I'll talk to you next week, Ray. Good job.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks, Ruthann.
Very good. Very good, Jeff.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.